this morning I welcome you all into God's presence. I want you to understand that this is a new year and requires some new things in the lives of men. I have always said that nothing is new is in a year except the man who decides to do a new thing. That's why you see God say, I will do a new thing. In our life too, we must do new things. We must take new steps. We must be ready to get certain things changed in our lives. So, I'm talking this morning on taking risk in life. Taking risk in life. It is the third part of what I'll be teaching on prosperity. For a man to prosper, he must be ready to take risk. People that do not take risk, they don't amount to anything in this universe. Risk taking is part of life. And the gospel of Jesus is a gospel of faith. And faith is a risk. Praise the Lord. You see, so many people, they just want to see things being done the same way, just normal. The way they have been doing it, that's the way they do it. They don't want to venture into new things. They don't want to take a risk. They feel that, let's continue like that. If you continue like that, you won't get what you are looking for. In the book of Esther, we are looking at Esther in chapter 4. The Bible says, in Esther chapter 4, I read from verse 15. Then Esther bade the return of Mordecai this answer. There was a problem in the land, and Esther was consulted. And Esther felt he couldn't do anything. But it got to a time when he knew that changes must take place. And he told them, go and tell Mordecai this answer. Verse 16, go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. That is change. I will go to the king, which is not according to the law, because he needed change. Mordecai told Esther, there is a problem in the land. They want to destroy all the Jews. And you are in the position now. You can meet the king and say, reverse the decree. And Esther said, tell Mordecai that you know that it's not possible. I pray that every impossibility will be possible in your life this year. He said, you know it cannot be done because nobody can appear before the king within these 30 days that I'll be allotted. Except the king call you, you don't go there. If you go, they will cut off your head. That was the law. And that was the time Satan too want to frustrate the people of God. Listen to me, brethren. If you must do a new thing, if you must see the glory of God, be ready to take risk. Everybody say risk. Esther now, when Mordecai now said, go and tell Esther, this is what he should do. And Esther said, it is not possible. Mordecai now sent back to Esther and said, tell her that you don't know whether you are in the king palace for this purpose. This is the reason why you came in there. Remember that if you refuse to do this thing, God will bring deliverance for the Jews from any other place. That was the worst Mordecai sent to Esther. And Esther now said, okay. He said, oh, it's all right. Go back and tell Mordecai. Tell him that I am ready to take a risk. That we will fast for 3 days. We will not eat food. We will not drink water. I will go and meet the king at the time when you don't supposed to see the king. If he kill me, let him kill me. Praise the Lord. There are risks that will change your life this year. There are steps you will take that will take you to a new level. That will break you to a new ground. That will give you what you are looking for. You must not be afraid. You must be ready to take a risk. That was how they went and told Mordecai. Mordecai said, go, that's what I'm looking for. And Esther went into a fasting. And his people fasted with him. After she fasted, and they went to meet the king. The Bible says, I don't know whether I can read these scriptures to you. The Bible says, when Esther went to meet the king, as soon as the king saw Esther coming, he rose up and hold the golden scepter. And the golden scepter was what the king used to hold. And if he hold that scepter, if he present it to you, you touch the head, that means you are accepted. As soon as the king saw Esther coming, the Bible says she found favor with him. And he bring the golden scepter and he talked before her, she was accepted. This year you shall be accepted. In a risky period, you will be accepted. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. But what is the matter? You must be ready to change things in your life. Take a risk. Don't keep doing things the same way. The same way you have been doing it, the same way you are doing it. Same thing you are doing it over and over again, 1 year to another year. Listen to me. If you continue the same way, you will not see a new thing. There are no new things except to a man who is ready to take a new step. Many people are not taking new steps in life because they are afraid. Fear will die in your life this year. They are afraid. If I go, what if I die? What if the thing failed? What if the thing didn't work? And they just surround themselves with all forms of unnecessary suspicions and they are not able to move. Esther moved. And God had mercy on her. That was how the Jews were delivered from the hands of wicked Haman. Because it has been signed. The king has already signed that these people are going to be destroyed. But now, the decree has been signed. But the decree that Haman and the king signed was changed because of the risk of Esther. Every decree, evil decree from the pit of hell, over your life this year, by the virtue of the steps you will take, they shall be canceled in Jesus' name. There are people that have been apportioned to die because they are able to take a risk. They are able to do what others could not do. The decree is canceled. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter who is lying against you. What matters is what steps can you take. Now I take you to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Risk taking. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, this young man, David, took a risk to write his name with gold in the sand of history. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, I read from verse 22. And David left his carriage in the hands of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who kill him, the king will enrich him and with great riches. And will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spoke to the man that stood by him and saying, what shall be done to the man that killed his Philistine and taken away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? That's a serious matter. The young boy decided that he was going to step in where everybody was running away. Where everybody was fleeing. And they saw the offer, the juicy offer that was to be given to whosoever confront this Goliath. But who can step out? Except a man that is ready to take a risk. Then, in verse 27, and the people answer him after the same manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killed him. And Eliab, his elder brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou led those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? There are people that will want to silence you when you want to take risk. There are people that want to tell you, wash you down, and tell you that you are not able to do it. Who are you? You small boy. You just came to look at the battle. That's why you left. You left those sheep in the bush and you are here. Will I remain with the sheep in the bush? I need a new thing. Tell somebody I need a new thing. David needed a new thing. Do you need a new thing? I want to do something new. He said, I can't remain there. I came to do a new thing. This year there shall be new things in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. It's the elder brother said, go away, you small boy. What are you talking here? You just came to look at the battle. That's why you left those sheep and you are here. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a problem here that needs to be solved? There's a problem everywhere that is looking for solution. May you be the solution. Is there not a problem that needs to be solved? Is there not a cause? And you are here. You couldn't do anything. So I am discussing to see what I can do. You are silencing me. Verse 30. And he turned from him towards another. He didn't mind inside that brother. You will not mind distractors in your life this year. He didn't mind him. He turned away from him. I spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again the former manner. And when the words were heard with David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go after this Philistine to fight with him. For thou art but a youth and he a man of war from his youth. Can you imagine that? Physically looking, David is not qualified to face Goliath. He has nothing to offer. He doesn't have what it takes. You are a young boy, 17 years old boy. You see this man, huge, tall, well guided, prepared. He has been fighting from his youth. He's not a small boy. What do you want to do there? The king told him, don't try. Don't even go there. It's not your type that can face him. We are still thinking, what can we do? Praise the Lord. When they are thinking, what can you will come, what can they do? You come with solution. Tell yourself, I will come with solution. This young boy came with solution. He said, I will go. The king tried to discourage him, he wouldn't hear. The Bible says in verse 34, and David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and I smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slay him. Thy servant slayed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. See, he hath defied the armies of the living God. Praise the Lord. He came up with a testimony. That's why I told you last Sunday, don't ever forget what the Lord has done yesterday. What he did yesterday, he will do another one tomorrow. He will do another one next week. He will do another one next month. He will do another one next year. In the name of Jesus. He said, I was in the bush. Look at this bear and this lion. They came to collect the sheep from my hand. I refused to run. I faced the lion. I faced the bear. And I killed them. This same God that helped me to kill the bear, kill the lion, I will also help me to kill this Philistine. You see, the man was huge. Oh. Praise the Lord. It is not by physical sight. It is by what is inside the man. He didn't look at the structure of this man. He was just looking at what God can do. He said, in as much as he has defied the armies of the... You know what Goliath said? He told them, bring me a man that can fight with me, O Israel. If you can bring a man that can fight with me, and the man is able to kill me, all of us will become your slave. We'll be serving you. But if I kill the man, all Israel will become my slave. The people of God become a slave to the enemy. That was what angered David. Inasmuch as this man has defied the army of the living God, in verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord had delivered me out of the pews of the lion, out of the pews of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hands of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David guided his sword upon his armor, and he assayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with this, for I have not proved them. And David pulled them off. Even the weapons, they gather here. You don't have ammo, you don't have gun, you don't have arrow, you don't even have any bulletproof. They wear him everything and gave him arrow to go. He said, no, this one not will work. Let me just go empty handed. Praise the Lord. The risk you will take this year will bring down your enemy. He
In verse 40, he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brooks and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. You know, people will tell you that, why did he choose 5 stones? Why not 10? Why not 6? Why not 3? That means he, the name Jesus is J-E-S-U-S. He went with that name in a mystery. That name you are carrying can bring down the head of your Goliath. You cannot be going with that name and you are not able to bring down your enemy. You cannot be going with that name, you cannot bring down your enemy. Only one stone, only Jesus. Goliath fell. Listen to me. Your enemy will fall this year. Your enemies will fall this year. In the name of Jesus. All those things you are afraid of, they will no longer be there. When you step out and you take a risk, you will see that they will all be silent. The Bible says, look at what happened. Can't take a lesson from this. The Bible says, he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staffs? And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. You see, there is a God behind every battle. Hello? There is what? A God behind every battle. In every battle a man wants to fight, there is a spiritual undertone. There is a God you trusted. There's a God you depend upon. There's a God you must go with. This man, even though he was huge, there is a God that he's working with. So he calls David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, come to me. I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You can see that David was not just going with catapult. He was going with a name called Jesus. Praise the Lord. He said, you are coming to me with arrows, bow, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. That is what we are going to use to fight this battle. He said, verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the air, and all the air may know that there is a God in Israel. Hallelujah. It is God they use to fight battle, brother. God is what they use to fight battle. When I see some people failing in many, many things they are doing, I know that you don't have God. You don't understand what it is. See, there is no man who go into a warfare at his own expense. There is something you must rely upon. What are you relying upon? You want to prosper. You want to succeed. You want to live long. Where is your help? Who are you relying upon? Where is your backbone? Who do you trust? Duty, everybody trusted one thing or the other. You cannot be going empty-handed. You just wake up, you are going. There is no prayer, no relationship with God, nothing you have done that will make God to say, I will back him up. I will back her up. You're just going empty. That's why you see many people are cut off before they know it. Some people, they go on a journey, they cannot return. Some people, they struggle, they don't succeed because God is not helping you. Praise the Lord. There is no power that is backing you up. Before I gave my life to Christ, I know that there were powers in the world. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. People that go into occultism is because they are looking for power. That's why they go there. They are looking for power. But when we come to Jesus, we don't know that there is power in Jesus that can overrun every other power. That was what David did here. He came with the power of God to overrun the power of the Philistines. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 47. He said, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword nor spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Do you see that? God, the Lord doesn't stay with sword. Ordinary brain, your own brain alone cannot help you. Your own instrument. I know how to do this work very well. You never see people that are very talented, they are very poor. You didn't see them? I've seen so many well-talented people are struggling in life. It's not about you, how talented you are. It's about the God that is backing you up. It's about the God you trusted. It's about the God that is helping you. So you must know that if the battle is not in the hand of a man, the battle is the hand of the Lord. David told him the battle is the Lord's own. In verse 48, and it came to pass, when the Philistine arose, this is where risk taking comes. When the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. This is a time when somebody who is afraid is supposed to run. Amen? If David was afraid, the Bible said when the Philistines heard how David was talking, he quickly ran to meet David. And David also ran to meet him. You will meet your enemy. Some people will go back. Don't go back this year. I think that's the song they are singing. Don't go back this year. Hello? Don't go back. When you are face to face with challenges, face the challenge. When you are face to face with problems, go forward. It's either we perish or we succeed. Why are you running backwards? Why are you going back? There's no other place to go. It is forward we are going. And we must go there in Jesus' name. That is how people overcome the battles of life. No running back. The Bible says, as the Philistine were running to meet David, David also ran to meet him. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung him and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead. The angels were there and he fell upon his face to the earth. As David was talking, angels were already in the camp. This year, when you are talking, the angels will be all around you. The angels were already there. Have you ever seen a man just throwing one stone, only one stone? Not as if he didn't miss the head. He went inside. He didn't touch the head and bounce back. He went inside the head. Where do you ever see such a thing? You know here is very strong. Is that not so? This call is very strong. He ought to have bounced back. But the angel pushed the stone inside the head. And he entered inside. The God of heaven will help you to fight your enemy. The stone went inside the head. And the man could not see himself again. He fell down to the floor. Your enemy will fall. I said your enemy will fall. But the issue is this. Be ready to take risk. Don't be afraid to face your challenge. Don't be afraid to face your trouble. Don't be afraid to face what is facing you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why, even in life, the people who succeed in life are people who know how to take risk. There are some people that cannot do any reasonable business because they are afraid to take risk. To invest, they will say, if I put that 100,000 there, what if all the money lost? What if I didn't get anything again? What if we go hungry? So let's leave it. Let's be chopping the money small, small. And they will chop the money until they finish chopping all the money. And the poverty remains. Praise the Lord. Risk takers are people who succeed in life. They take risky business. They take risk. If some people will tell you so many things they did that brought them into where they are, you will be afraid to do the same thing. Yes, anybody that wants to progress must be ready to take risk. If you want to get this done, you want to prosper, take a risk. People who sow seed, they take risk in sowing. Praise God. I say praise God. That's why in the book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, the Bible says from verse 1, he said, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Do you think, is it easy to throw your bread inside water? The bread you are going to eat, you are hungry. And hungry is murmuring you now. And you try the bread, throw it inside water. Which one are you going to eat? That's the problem. The Bible says, cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. Will you wait for that many days for bread to return? That's the issue of sowing. Praise God. People sow seed, there are people who take risk. Throw their bread. They may be hungry, they cast it there. They are waiting for the return. Because when the thing is coming back, it's not going to come back with only one loaf of bread. It will come back with plenty of bread. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, verse 2, give a portion to 7 and also to 8. For that knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the cloud be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap.
The wind is blowing too much. If I plant something now, it will blow everything away. Let's leave it. The cloud is, it's too dark. We cannot go. Let's leave it. Procrastinators. Let maybe next week. They push it forward. They will not plant where they are supposed to plant. They will sow where they are supposed to sow. They will leave it.
The year is going now. January, today is 24th. Next week, by next Sunday, is the last Sunday of January. We enter February. If Christ tarry, the year is running. Those who know how to prepare themselves, they are already preparing for a greater height. They are already planting for tomorrow. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. Verse 5, as thou knowest not what is the will of the spirit, or how the bow do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning, sow thy seed. And in the evening, withhold not thy hand. For thou knowest not whither shall prosper. Either this or that, or whether the bow shall be alive. Good. How will you sow seed in the morning and go and sow in the evening if you don't know how to take risk? Because you will want to keep that seed. Because if we take this one now, we don't know what will happen. We don't know how we will survive. Let's just leave it. Let's be waiting. The day when God brings plenty, we cannot sow plenty. No. The farmer who plants do not speak like that. He knows that harvest will surely come. So he's putting everything on the ground, waiting for the harvest. And when the harvest comes, he will be a rejoicing man. Praise the Lord. So that's why in Psalm 126, the Bible says, it says from verse 1, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Underline the word precious. Seeds are always precious. Bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And they are going bearing. Seeds are precious because I was made to know as a man in the village that seeds yam, in time of planting yam, most especially, is a time when the yam is almost going to an end. Finish. It's almost finished. That's why you discover planting season is always the time when food grow up. When it's time, April, May, now you see yam will go high. Amen. Because the thing is going, it's about to finish. And that's the time you have to plant. And the farmer will have to carry all the seed yam. And this what they call the seed yam are yam that are very sweet. Praise the Lord. If you eat seed yam, you know yam is seed yam very sweet. Praise the Lord. That is what they will put on the ground. And it's very precious at that time. And when you put those things on the ground, you have two alternatives, whether to eat it or to plant it. Hello? Either to eat the thing or to plant it. And if you eat it, you have eaten everything. No harvest. If you plant it, you are waiting for another harvest. Praise the Lord. That is where the risk comes in. You must be ready to take a risk. He that going for bearing precious seed, he's putting it on the ground and he's weeping. Oh, what shall we eat today? But God will always provide. Most of the time, they manage through that period. But when the harvest time comes, it is a joyful thing. Everybody is dancing. Everybody is rejoicing. Because they bear precious seed. The Bible says, he that sow in tears. Sowing in tears means taking risk. You are putting it down. Your eyes is dropping. Just give it a little while. You will rejoice again. That is precious seed.
So, dearly beloved, this is a year to sow precious seed. Most people are not ready to take the risk that will move them to the next level in life. It takes faith to sow in tears. I have always taught you that faith is a risk. Faith is risk-taking. When you see a man walking by faith, it's a man who takes risk. I don't know whether I have time to read Bible. Apostle Paul says, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 21, they were trying to dissuade him, to convince him not to go into Jerusalem, not to finish his ministry. And he looked at them and said, why are you crying, weeping to break my heart? He said, I am not even going there just to be in prison. I'm going there to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. That's risk. They told him, a prophet came and said, he that owns this ghetto shall be arrested. They will bind him if he gets to Jerusalem. And so the brethren were weeping and said, please, Paul, you are the owner of the ghetto. The prophet has spoken. Don't go. They were weeping and crying, oh, please, don't go. And the man looked at them and said, what are you trying to do? You want to stop me from fulfilling my ministry? He said, not only to bind me there, let them kill me there too. That's a risk. Praise the Lord. Risk means that you know there is danger, but because you know that is the only thing that can move you to the next level, you go. Praise God. In serving God, it involves risk. Hello? It involves risk. For Abraham to carry Isaac to go and sacrifice, it was a risky journey. Why not carry Ishmael? Ishmael was already born before God demanded for Isaac. Is that not true? Ishmael was already there. But Isaac was the promised child. In Isaac shall this promise be fulfilled. In Isaac shall the nation be multiplied. But God said, give me Isaac for his sacrifice. He heard it very well. And Abraham took a risk and carried Isaac to the mountain. And it took him 3 days to locate the mountain. He ought to have gone back. But he has already known how to walk with God. And he went there and he prepared the altar to sacrifice Isaac to God. Until God stopped him. And God said in Genesis 22, God started to swear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Genesis 22, let me read this. We soon got to round up now. The Bible says, in Genesis 22, I read from verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eye and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horn. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast taken this risk, paraphrased, I have not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand that which is upon the seashore, and in thy seed shall. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. In other words, because you have taken this risk. You were able to take this risk. When God speaks, many people do not hear because they are not ready to obey. Some people hear, they can't do it because they cannot take that risk. Because the voice of God will demand something tough. Amen. Go and give Isaac as a sacrifice. Why are you demanding for Isaac? You know how long it took me to get this Isaac? You know, I was already 100 years old before Isaac was born. And that's the one you need for sacrifice? That's too much. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he took the risk and took Isaac to that place for sacrifice. Then God make a provision. Instead of sacrificing Isaac, there was the ram in the bush. It was already there. If Abraham didn't take that step, he would have been the one to lose. And he now had to begin to swear. By myself have I sworn. That in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. So no devil can stop your blessing. That's what I'm saying. Anybody who call it devil, devil, leave devil alone. You face God. All the devil will bow before you. Do you see David? He didn't mind Satan. He didn't mind Goliath. Hello? He was concerned about God. Do you know why many of us are calling Satan tumor? Because you don't give attention to God. When you don't give attention to God, Satan will give you direction. David was concerned only about God. He didn't mind Satan. When you are lost in God, Satan will lose his step in your life. It is better to face God and leave the devil alone. Risk taking. There's too many things I'm going to tell you, but time will not permit me. The four leprous men in 2 Kings chapter 7, they took a risk and God caused their enemy to hear a noise and they ran. And they went there and discovered the camp of the Syria, there were too many food and they were hungry there. If they didn't take that risk, they will remain in poverty. People prosper, there are people who take risk. If you are ready to go to the next level, take risk. And I'm going to round up with this. Taking risk to be saved. Every sinner know that he or she is a sinner. And they also know that Jesus is the only Savior. They know. But what separates them from salvation and eternal life is risk taking. Yes. It takes risk to forsake sin. Hello? I'm telling you. If they will say to themselves, if I totally give my life to Christ now, what will my people say? What of my mother? What of my father? What of my brothers? What of my friends that we used to move together? Which means if I give my life totally to Christ now, I will not be following them to drink beer again. I will not be following them to do immorality again. I will not be following them to tell lies again. No, let's leave it like that. After all, the highest I can do, I can just be going to church. A church goer that is not born again. That's why so many, they don't want to face that challenge. They don't want to take the risk. Yes, I too face that kind of trouble. Before I gave my life to Christ, I used to give this story. Before I gave my life to Christ, I know that nobody in my family has ever done it. Nobody has ever been born again in my family. And nobody will accept it. So, I thought very well, what will my mother say? What are my brother that I was really saying with? That you are not born again. You are not carrying Bible. Where did you see? And my brother actually told me, this thing you are doing, where have you ever seen? Who have ever done it in my family? Have you ever seen anybody carrying Bible like this? You are carrying Bible? Are you mad? He will just abuse me like this on the road. One day he met me on the road and said, after he had pushed me away from his house, he said, come. He said, have you ever looked yourself in the mirror again? I said, what happened? He said, you don't see how you have emaciated. You don't even see food to eat again. He said, I've told you, this Bible is what you will eat. Eat Bible. Get out! You just yab me like that and go away. I said, don't worry, I will eat the Bible. And I'm actually eating the Bible now. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Because I took a risk. He said, if you care, you can come back to my house if you like. I said, I'm not going. I refuse to go. I have to face the challenge. And my Jesus has never failed me. I'm telling you, Jesus never failed. If you follow God, he will not fail you. The issue is you will take a risk. Damn all the consequence. Forget all the people that are going to mock you. They may call your name. One day, they were doing something in my family. A kind of age group. They said, my father said they should send money. And my elder brother called me. I said, they are going to do this thing. No? They said they should send money. I said, you know, even if I have money, I will not even send. I said, don't even add my name. I'm no more a member of that family. Praise the Lord. Because you have lost that man. I'm not even there again. And they say, do you get money before? It's not because you are poor. You laugh at me. I said, don't worry. My God will never disappoint me. That is the risk I took. And everybody in my family today know that my Jesus has never failed me. My mother, whenever I call her, that he will be praying for me on the phone. You will live long. It shall be well with you. Your ministry will prosper. Because I stood my ground. Praise the Lord. You stand your ground. It's a risk taking. Your people may forsake you. Tomorrow they will recognize you. They will know that you are serving a true God. You don't follow them to serve idol. You don't follow them to do things that are wrong. When you see evil, you support it. Dearly beloved, I am praying your salvation will come today. I read Hebrews chapter 3 as we pray. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, he says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. When your father tempted me, proved me, and saw my words 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my way. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take ye, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Why it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. As in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, how be not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was he not with them that had seen, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They were not ready to take the risk. That is it. Unbelief. When a man do not believe, that shows the man is afraid. That shows the man is not ready to take risk. That showed the man is saying, please, so I beg, I don't want to go for. So God will be angry with them because of unbelief. They were not ready. Moses, where are you even carrying us to? Leave us. Let us go back to Egypt. That is how they were always talking in the wilderness. We were eating cucumber in Egypt. And not cucumber in this wilderness. Oh, Moses, what? That's what they were always talking. Until God destroyed many of them in the wilderness. Before you know it, they'll say, hey, we were serving one idol in Egypt before. Let's go and make God for us to serve now that will help us. God said to Moses, look at these people. Many of them who did those things were destroyed in the wilderness because they were not ready. Moses was a risk taker. Oh, hallelujah. Moses only had the voice of God in a burning bush and believed the voice. He walked by the voice, went to Egypt, talk to Pharaoh, taking the risk. You know what it is to go and face somebody like Pharaoh? King Pharaoh, he went to face him and said, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. He could remove your head for saying that. But he took a risk. Everybody that will prosper must be ready to take a risk. If you want God to be on your side, take a risk. Follow him riskily. Don't consider anything. Rise up on your feet. Take your God today. Every fear will die in my heart this year. Whatsoever I need to do, I will do it. I will not be afraid. If God wants me to do anything, I will do it. If he wants me to sow any seed, I will sow it. If he wants me to take step to be born again genuinely, I will do it. If he wants me to serve him, maybe he even wants you to be a preacher like me. Why not? Why not do it? What are you afraid of? What are you running away from? God never fails a man. God cannot disappoint you. I will be ready to take a risk. I will be ready to follow Jesus to the end. I will be ready to do whatsoever I can do that will give me what I want. Oh Lord, I will no longer be afraid. Let every fear die in my heart. Let every fear die in my heart. Let every fear die in my heart. In the mighty name of Jesus, let every fear die in my heart. I am ready to take the step that will move me to the next level. I cannot be doing the same thing over the years. The same thing last year. The same thing 2 years ago. The same thing all the time. Every time. Every time. Abba. There should be a change. There should be a change. I will take a risk that will move me to the next level. I will take a risk that will turn things around in my life. I will take a risk that will change my situation. I will take a risk. I will not mind what the enemy will say. I will not mind what my people will say. I will not mind what other men will say. I will do whatsoever I know is right. That thing that will make me to prosper. That thing that will make me to have a name upon the earth. That thing that will make me to enter into the kingdom of God at last. That's what I will do. That is what I will do. I will not consider any man again. I won't consider anybody again. I will do what is right. Oh Lord, give me grace. Give me grace to proceed. Give me grace to proceed. Give me grace to proceed. Undermining the consequence.
perish. Undermining what will happen. Esther said, if we perish, we perish. Well, we must see the king. Because we want to demand something. If we perish, we perish. We must see the king. We want to demand for something that our people should not be destroyed. Ah, it doesn't matter whatsoever anybody is saying. When you believe God, God will not disappoint you. God will not fail you. God will not pull you down. God will not allow you to be disappointed. I receive grace to take risk. 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 Every risk I need to take, I will take it. Because my business will prosper. My family will prosper. I will move forward. I will take any risk that I need to take. Holy Ghost, help me. Holy Ghost, help me. Holy Ghost, strengthen me. Holy Ghost, energize me. Empower me. Give me more wisdom from today. I will no longer run away. I will no longer run away from challenges. Where are you running to? Want to go back? No going back. The bridge is destroyed already. There's no more bridge to go back. No more bridge. Let's go forward. Let's go forward. Let's go forward. Let's go forward. It is forward ever, backward never. Ah, whatsoever you know that is good, do it. You will see God helping you. 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 In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. I tell you this before I round up. I read a book on the operations of the dark powers. And in that book, the writer revealed that one of the reasons why many people are poor is because they are not ready to defy the decree of the enemy. If you pay your tithe or you give an offering to God, that will change your condition. Satan will want to make things more difficult for you. He want to make you to think that God didn't hear your prayer. He want to organize challenges for you so that you will be thinking. He said, do you know what? If you want to break the heart of the devil, if you give anything that is bringing you challenges, give another one. If you do that and he look as if this, then do another one. Then you will see the door open. That is the secret to defeat the enemy. It's not much prayer. Let all the devil die. You think God doesn't hear prayer? He hears prayer. It's not much prayer. It's action. Action. Everybody say what? Action. Say what? Action. Pray this one prayer. Oh Lord my God. Every action that will break poverty in my life this year. Give me grace to take it. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Every action I need to take that will break the yoke of poverty in my life and family. Give me grace to take it. To take that action. To take that action. To take that action. To take that action. In the name of Jesus. Give me that grace. Because I don't want to remain where I am. I want to challenge the devil. I want to break his head. I want to break the head. In the name of Jesus. Oh Lord my Father. Give me grace to do more than I ever did before. And it shall be well with me. And things shall work in my life. Thank you, blessed Father. For this year we produce results in my life. Oh, what a mighty God we saw. Thank you, our God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Lift up your hand as I pray. I'm asking that God will draw you closer to himself. You heard my word today, and the Lord taught you, don't run away. Come to God. He will change your life. He will change your life. He will change your life. In the name of Jesus. I am praying that this year will not go the same way in your life. New things must happen. Changes must take place. You must move to the next level. You must have new spiritual experience. You must have new physical experience. There must be new blessings in your life. In the name of Jesus. I am praying that every Goliath before you, the action you require to be able to bring down their head, receive grace to take that action. In the name of Jesus. If David could face that mighty Goliath, that problem before you will collapse this year. If David could not be afraid to face Goliath and bring him down, don't no longer be afraid to face any challenge before you. It will fall like Goliath. That challenge will fall like Goliath. It will scatter like Goliath. In the name of Jesus. That faith you need in your heart to be able to move to what, where God wants you to go. To do what, there are some people, God wants you to go and speak to somebody, but you are afraid to go there. To this year, you will have faith to do it. You will no longer be afraid. Anybody that is blessed in your hand, you will have faith to locate them. They will locate you. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray, as they go, let new doors be opened to them. Let new strength be given unto them. Let new grace be given unto them. This year, you will not suffer the way you suffered last year. In the name of Jesus, no evil shall befall you. No evil shall come near your dwelling. Your enemy will die before you. In the name of Jesus, those that are planning your downfall will see your rising. They will see the glory of God upon your life. Oh Lord, I pray, this woman that has thrown an arrow into your family, I command that the arrow will go back to them. In the name of Jesus, Almighty God, resurrect these people from bad place, from a difficult place. Raise them up from there. Take them to a new ground. Let a new thing happen in your life. As you go this way, the Lord will go with you. His favor will follow you. His grace will multiply in your life. You will have testimony to share. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.